I just was reminded that the first time I met this family was 15 years ago. 15 years ago. So, yep. Dana, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
Hey, Cameron, how are you?
Good.
Okay, and sister?
Yes.
Okay, your microphone isn't on. There you go. There we go. All right. So where do we even want to start here with Cameron? I mean, Cameron, I think you weren't even born the last time I talked to Mom.
Yeah.
No, right? So what's going on?
So Emma's 20 now, but we...
20?
I know, which is crazy.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Just flashes by really quickly.
But way back then, so our journey started, I guess, it would be about 16 years ago. So 16 years ago, we had a daughter named Sophia, and she passed away when she was 3 days old. And we found out that she had a genetic disorder called MCAD. Mm. And then 6 months later, Emma fell really, really ill at Christmas time. And that's when we found out that she also had this rare disease that caused her to almost die several times, and over the years it just has continued to cause havoc on her system. And then when Emma was 10, she was diagnosed with something called complex 1 mitochondrial disorder, which is a muscle degenerative disease. So she was a competitive dancer, and now she's in a wheelchair lots of the time.
Okay.
So she kind of went from competitive dancing to now she's a wheelchair curler. So that's
all right.
That's how you do it, I guess, in our family. And then Cameron came into our lives 13 years ago, and he was born early. And so he had quite a stay at the NICU, at the Royal Alec, which is actually a part of the Stollery, mm-hmm. and lots of people don't know that. And we were elated to find out that he did not have MCAD, because, of course, it is...
They can test for that, right?
They can. And yes. And because my husband and I, Richard, were carriers, we were so elated to find out that he didn't have that. But our journey just kind of continued after the NICU, when he started not making his milestones, and we noticed that there were just things that were off. You know, already being a parent, you kind of know how things go. And so when he was about a year old, he had an MRI, and they found out that he had a tethered spinal cord. So his spinal cord was attached to a whole bunch of bone and nerves at the back of his spine. So he underwent a very, very long surgery when he was 15 months old. And when he had that surgery, they found he also had a spina bifida that they had not realized at the time. Yeah. So after he kind of had that all fixed up, I guess, there were some pretty big complications. He wasn't able to walk and things like that. And they were like, you know what, there's something more going on here. Mm. So he was tested, and it turns out that he has a type of muscular dystrophy.
Okay.
So he too also is in a wheelchair the majority of the time, but he is full of life and love and smiles and giggles and...
Yeah, well, both of them are. But both of them are, right?
They are.
Emma, bring that microphone closer to your face there. Okay. Yeah, so... Okay, so Cameron, that wheelchair, that doesn't slow you down. You're busy. You're playing wheelchair basketball. You're playing sledge hockey.
I also play the guitar.
You play the guitar.
Yeah.
What is your favorite song to play on the guitar?
Story of My Life from One Direction.
Oh, wow. How long have you been playing guitar for?
A year and a half.
Yeah? Okay. All right. How's the sledge hockey coming along as well?
Oh, good.
Yeah? Pretty good. And what about the basketball? I was never a very good basketball player, Cameron.
I'm really good.
You're really good? Yeah? Yeah? Emma, and what about you? So I saw you're using your walker.
Yes.
You're using a walker. You love to dance?
I do. I can't dance anymore, but I did find another passion, which is wheelchair curling, which is awesome.
Wheelchair curling, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. How tricky is that on the ice, though?
Well, we don't have sweepers, so we have to use all of our upper body muscles to try and get it down the ice.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Mom, Dad. Like, I mean, you've... you just keep on going, right? You just keep on going.
We do. I mean, and you know, our story is not the only one here. There are so many. But, you know, as tragic as these stories are, and even, I guess, even ours is, right? Like, both of the kids have chronic pain, and Cameron is actually undergoing a surgery this year that is a pretty massive surgery, and there's a chance that he'll never be able to weight bear again, and he said to the surgeon, I don't care if it means that I might not be in as much pain, that I want to go through with it, right? So when you hear things like that, it's heartbreaking, but it's the fact that this hospital is here and able to they've given our kids lives that I don't think that they would have had we been in other places.
Can you imagine if you weren't here, if you didn't have the Stollery to help guide your family through all of this?
I can't. I mean, our children have, there's nothing worse than watching somebody do CPR and intubate your child, and I've watched that, and they've coded so many times, and these people have brought them literally back to life, and it just, the outpouring of things that they give to you as a family, and the way that they make you feel loved when you're in your darkest hours, it's
Dana,
crazy.
And that's the one thing, you know, there's always so much focus on the kids, right? When we talk, there's always so much focus on the kids, but it's not just the kids that are being taken care of.
Right.
It's you, it's your husband, it's the entire family, and that is so incredibly important.
It is so important, you know. I remember when I was a kid and I had my appendix out, and, you know, I was in the hospital for almost a month, and my parents were allowed to come, you know, from 2 p.m. till 7 p.m. at night, and that was it. There was no fun. I was rooming with, at the time, I thought an elderly person, but they were my age now, but, you know, because that's what happens when you're five. But, you know, there was a TV room, and that was it. There was nothing. There was no child life. There was no beach. There was no nurses that came in on their breaks to talk to you because they saw that you were on their ward.
And the fact is that both of these children have spent hundreds upon hundreds of days in the hospital.
Absolutely.
Over their lives.
Cameron has had more than 60 surgeries, and Emma has, I think, had close to 40. And so when you think about that and the amount of hospitalizations and the amount of days and nights that we've spent by their bedside, and you really get to know the clinicians and the doctors and the nurses and the OTs and the PTs and all of these people.
So Emma, what do you think when you think about the Stollery Hospital, when you think about how you've been cared here, what goes through your mind? Like, what would you, do you ever get a chance to say thanks and to the doctors and nurses? Like,
well, when I transitioned out of pediatrics, I thank all my doctors and nurses. They helped me out through all these years, and I think the biggest thank you that I can give them is I want to become a child life specialist to help all those kids like me. So,
why? And you tell me about that. You know, the child life specialist that was in your world obviously had a big impact on you.
Yeah, they helped me throughout my journey. They came to bedside if you were not able to come out of your hospital bed, and you know, they just helped you out. They even helped the entire family and to make your stay a bit better and to make you feel safe.
Yeah. Oh, I can see just, you know, how emotional and how powerful that is for you. So thank you. And Cameron, you know, when you're here lots. You're here lots. I mean, do you get worried when you have to come here? Do you get scared? How do the doctors and nurses and everyone make you feel better?
They kind of cheer me up, and they go through steps and all that, so yeah.
Good for you. Mom, what have you learned from your children?
Oh my goodness.
Through all of this?
To live every day to your fullest, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you never know if there is going to be a tomorrow, and so all I can say is you literally have to live every day like it's your last. And I know that people say that all the time, but there are times, I mean, I have all of these pictures after surgeries and after horrible, horrible news, and my kids are smiling, and I'm like, I can't, you know, I am up every single night with Cameron because he's in so much pain, but yet he still gets up every single day and goes to school, and he goes and he plays these sports, and he, you know, he wants to be involved in life. He doesn't just lie in bed every day, right? Like, he's, you know, I think as an adult, that's probably what we're all kind of, you know, what we would all think to do, right?
But like, oh, I've got a bad, my back is sore today. I better stay home, right?
That's right. Whereas these kids are like, no, what are you talking about, right? Like, I, you know, even Emma, when she was younger, right? Like, she'd keeping up with her friends and stuff, and you'd be like, oh, but Emma, like, tomorrow you might not be able to walk. And she was like, I don't care. It's worth it because it's right now.
It's
this
today.
Is my life. I just want to live it.
It's today. Oh, wow. Well, it is so amazing to see you again. I didn't even realize that. You said, what? And I was just so, so wonderful to see you again, Emma.
Me
and
too.
I can't wait to hear the day when you've graduated and you've gone on to become a child life specialist. Good for you. Good
Thank
for you. Keep being awesome. Cameron, I hope that next surgery for you gives you some relief. And I want to thank you for sharing your story with us today. It's so nice to see you.
Thanks.
Continue to have fun playing hockey and basketball.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, and Mom, Dad, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You know, I know it's not easy to come here and, you know, go through all of this, you know, on an ongoing basis, but you telling your family story and sharing your stories and sharing the strength of your children really, I think, brings home what it is that happens here on a daily basis.
I just always hope that, you know, if perhaps just one person heard our story and found some kind of strength to get through the day, that's all I hope for, right? Is to hopefully that people can find hope, because some days, in the darkest days, it's really hard to find hope.
It is. It is. But boy, oh boy.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.